Yes, another derelict building, which has been idle since it was built. It was built around 05-06 as part of the complex there, and it was supposed to be a hotel. Never took off as a hotel, never opened. And 16 years later, it's being, I suppose, finished off, but not to work as a normal hotel, but to work as a refugee centre for international protection applicants. So myself and Councillor Cormac Kelly put out a newsletter over the weekend in the village, effectively summarising some of the meetings we have had. So I mentioned in your programme before, I put together a working group with a team drawn from the different resident associations, sports and business associations in the village, pretty much a spectrum of village opinion and people that are involved in the community, and brought that group in to meet the department twice, to meet the local Gardaí team led by Superintendent Henry, and indeed to meet Tetrarch, who owned the property. So as a result of all those meetings, we now have the following information. The centre will host 112 people, so that's 56 rooms, two persons per room, and they've given an absolute cap on that. It's not going to be any more than that, they've told us, and they've given that to me in writing. It will be couples and singles, both men and women, so mixed sex, couples in some rooms, singles in others. It's due to open in the new year, so there's a work going on at the moment, building work, to get it ready, but it's estimated to be another 3 or 4 months still to get it to that standard, and that will bring it into probably January, probably February of 2024. There will be 20 to 25 staff hired, everything from a centre manager to receptionists to social workers to maintenance workers to security teams, everything that you'd expect to go with a property accommodating 112 people, and they'll be hired locally, so 20 to 25 roles at the complex. And I suppose what's interesting, I think, in the longer term is that the centre is being built to the same spec as a normal three-star hotel. It will operate, in most intents purposes, as a small hotel. And when the crisis is over, and look, we're seeing lots of coverage in the news at the moment about looking at the approach to refugees and how many are they taking and so forth. But it is seen, I think, across government, this is not a permanent solution. This is something that's been looked at as a crisis mode right now. But the centre will be finished off to a hotel standard and could very easily transition to be a working hotel 2, 3, 4 years' time. So I think that's something that would be positive for the village long-term if that came to pass.
And the composition of the centre hasn't been confirmed yet by the Department of Integration, as I understand it, so they're waiting to see maybe what plays out before they confirm who exactly will be going in. But as you've said, 56 double and twin rooms, two persons per room, and it's going to accommodate around 112 people. Can I just ask you, James, then, from a government point of view, so Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said in the Dáil over the last couple of days that the state's approach to accommodating refugees and asylum seekers must change. He says that we're pretty much at capacity now for refugees. Would you agree that, and I don't want to use the term Ireland is full, but would you agree that we need to look at how many people are coming into this country?
Well, yeah, well, look, I've said this in your programme over the last number of months and probably over the last year or two a number of times. I think anybody with any sort of practical sense or common sense could see that with their own eyes, that we are struggling as a country to accommodate. We already have a housing crisis, and the government is moving might and main to build houses and also give supports for first-time buyers and everyone to get on the ladder. But it's very difficult and challenging, and there just aren't enough properties available. So when the refugees started arriving, I suppose after Ukraine broke out in 2022, I think it was, we're a year into it now, there was a different type of approach. So lots of derelict buildings, old community halls that were out of use, army barracks and so forth, that wouldn't have maybe been considered suitable for, I suppose, local housing, but were pressed into use as emergency centres for many Ukrainians. Pretty much all those centres have now been used up. There's not too many of those properties left. There's a couple still coming on stream, but we're very closely reaching the point where we're just going to have to be able to say, sorry, there's nowhere else to go. So you either have people sleeping in tents, be that in down in Leash or be it on the streets of Dublin or wherever else, that's not a good solution. Are they very honest and obvious answers to say, we're really sorry, we've done our best, but we're struggling to accommodate any more.
Yeah.
And part of that package may be, and one of the concerns that was raised in another cabinet meeting was the city of secondary migration. So if somebody arrives in the European Union seeking asylum, fine, and they can apply in the whatever country they arrive in first. In some cases, people were applying in one country or arriving in one country. A couple of months later, finding their way to Ireland.
Yeah.
And presenting here.
Some people would ask, James, though, why are the government only realising this now? Because we've had record homelessness for months on end. And, you know, a lot of people would have been saying, we're taking too many refugees in here. GPs are bursting at the seams. Schools are bursting at the seams. Dentists are bursting at the seams. So why now? Why are you only saying, and I'm not saying you, but I mean the government and Leo Varadkar coming out and saying that we need to change our approach now to refugees, when a lot of people would have said, you know, the approach needed to change last year.
Yeah, well, look at it. I mean, it's always difficult in government. I mean, one thing I always say in politics, it's very hard to keep all the people happy all the time. And for every person that might welcome the news that the government is rethinking its approach, I can guarantee you there would be emails coming into my office and there would be NGOs protesting outside the door saying this is not good enough, we should be having an open door policy and the more the merrier. So there's always an equal and opposite view to every view that's out there. So it's not plain sailing and it's not a simple solution. I think as well that the numbers arriving exceeded the government's targets. So I think at one stage when Roderick O'Gorman took office as a new Green Minister, he wanted to end direct provision. I think at that stage there might have been 3,500 people a year, and beginning to trickle down a little bit coming into Ireland from international protection. So that's separate to Ukraine, that's the wider world. I think that figure is over 10,000 this year, and it's going to hit maybe 12,000 next year. And that's before we look at the 80,000 to 90,000 Ukrainians that arrived in, which was totally unexpected in terms of going back before the Ukraine war broke out. So the pressure is enormous. I think the government, I actually welcome the fact that they're applying a bit of pragmatism and saying, look, this is not sustainable. It's going to have negative effects for the people coming in and for the people, you know, the host communities are going to be strained as well with services under pressure and so forth. So I think it's a common sense realisation. I suppose it took a while for that data to come through as well in terms of people moving from other countries over here. But I very much welcome and agree that the approaches have to be revisited.
You mentioned secondary movements to Ireland. So that's Ukrainians who've been living in other Western European countries who then decide to move to Ireland. So for example, they flee Ukraine, they go to Poland or France or Germany or wherever, they stay there for a couple of months. They look over at Ireland and say, hang on a second here, lads. Look how much money the Irish government are giving out at the moment. That seems very generous. Let's move to Ireland. Are we being too generous here, James?
Possibly with the Ukrainian families, not so much international protection applicants. They still get a very, very small sum, barely livable. They do get meals provided, but it is very basically subsistence accommodation with the international protection. But in the case of Ukrainians, there was a decision made at the start of the war that Ukrainian applicants were to be treated along the same lines as EU applicants. So anybody coming from the EU would have the same rights almost as an Irish citizen when they arrive here. And the decision was taken that Ukrainians, it was applying for EU membership, it was in the middle of a war, coming under attack from Russia, and they should be treated the same way. And again, depending on the numbers, and actually, there are some benefits to that. One of the big benefits to my mind is that any Ukrainian now in the country can go straight into work in the country, then go straight into study. They can go straight into all the systems that we have here. And I think my own view is having those people working and integrating and in the school system and everything actually is a great plus for their integration, but also the fact that they're able to contribute and work here. We are at full employment, which means there are more jobs than there are people to fill them. So rather than having people locked up for a year or 6 months or 2 years saying, well, you can't work, you have to twiddle your thumbs until you get to a certain stage, saying you can work immediately when you get here actually makes a lot of sense. But I do think that the welfare rates do need to be looked at again. Because if we're an outlier in Europe, if we're higher than other countries are paying, then that's definitely something that we need to re-examine.